I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Now, you know, I'm a family lawyer, you know, because you've been married to me for 30, however many years it is.
30, almost
doing
eight.
Family law, practicing law, mm-hmm. going to court, spending my days with lawyers. One would think, right, mm-hmm. that the last person that I would want to have on this podcast is someone who does what I do, right?
Maybe.
Well, the reason we have this person on today is because she does it very differently than I did, and a lot of people do, mm-hmm. still do. Mm-hmm. She's been a lawyer for 15 years. She focuses her practice on family law. She founded her own firm, made up not of associates and of counsel and secretaries, but of team members, she calls them. And we want to talk a little bit about that. And I believe one of the fastest growing companies in the Inc. 5000 list last year. I want to welcome my friend and an awesome, I'd say young, because everybody's young to me these days, an awesome lawyer, Christy Zlatkis. Christy, welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And thank you for the young. I feel like I only have a few more days of it since I turned 40 this month.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, well, happy almost birthday.
That's a baby.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Baby.
To someone. It's all about perspective. So I do want to spend, because, you know, we talk a lot about relationships. And this is what got me thinking about you from a little bit different perspective and your firm and what you do. Now, tell us a little bit about how your firm manages family law differently than most of the rest of us do.
So one of the big differences is that we work really hard on our clients' mindset from everything from our marketing to the time that we meet them. Yes, it's a divorce. And yes, you and I know all the legalities of that. But especially if they're children, it's really a family reorganization. My firm uses a tree as a logo because one of the things that I have told people for years is that even though two branches are splitting and going in different directions, you have to support each other. You can't have one, you know, rot and fall off because your family's still growing. There's still leaves. There's still children, grandchildren, you know, great grandchildren, and you're going to have an effect on all of that. So I believe that when we work with our clients' mindsets from the beginning, not only are we going to have better outcomes, but also you're going to have a ripple effect. If somebody is looking at their divorce, instead of looking at it as an ending or a failure, and they're instead looking at it as an opportunity for change and an opportunity to redesign their lives and to give their kids a better life, then that ripple effect is going to happen not just to their co-parent, but to their children, to their neighbors that have to live next to them as they're going mm-hmm. through a divorce, the realtor mm-hmm. that's going to have to help them sell their house, and all of the other things. So that's how we view it.
Wow. I love that. I mean, as a family therapist.
I thought you would. That's why I didn't tell you much before you got on.
Yeah, as a family therapist, I mean, that tree is so important. And even I do a lot of work with adoption, and we use the tree and sort of replanting a tree as a metaphor for the adoption process and just how the soil and making sure that you have the right soil and conditions for the tree. So I love that you do that and you pay attention to the relationships and the emotions that are behind the divorcing situation.
Oh, absolutely. We're a big fan that divorce and any kind of change takes a whole village.
And you provide different kinds of support than what most people come looking for a divorce lawyer for. I mean, many people, you know, rely on friends, or they think it's going to be a scorched earth, or there's going to be lengthy litigation, judges and so forth, and don't think much about, I think, what I've read about that you do, which is much more holistic in terms of working with the person, not just inside the divorce itself, but how it affects the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. Divorce, you know, I share this story in my marketing, so I'm happy to share it here if that's okay with you.
Sure.
But I went through a really, really bad breakup. I was not actually married. We were planning on engagement, all of that, but we were together almost my entire 20s. And it was one of those situations where one day I came home and he said, I don't want this anymore. And when I say my whole world was devastated, I don't even think I got off the floor for 2 months. I'm amazed that my then employers put up with me. Like I was a walking zombie of myself. But I was able to use that as a catalyst for change. I took money that I had been saving to get married and I bought my first condo. I got my dogs. It sounds like such a little thing, but I got blue plates, blue dishes, like, you know, those little compromises that everybody makes in marriage, as you should. One of my compromises, because I didn't care all that much, was we had white plates because you thought that's what, you know, you use in restaurants and shows off the food. But I always wanted something a little more homey. So I went out one day to Bed Bath & Beyond and I bought plates that made me happy.
Bunch of plates.
I love it.
I did a stand-up comedy class. I just did so many different things to figure out who I am. And eventually I lost weight. I started my law firm and now I'm dating someone who's a whole lot better of a match for me. But I transformed my life. It's unrecognizable and I am beyond happy. And if you would have told me before that breakup that I would want any of the things that I have now, I would have thought you were crazy because I thought I was really happy. Mm-hmm. But you can take your mess and turn it into something magical. Mm-hmm. And so since I did it, I wanted to help other people do it. And that's one of the reasons I decided to kind of go out on my own is to be able to do that. And for our clients, we work really hard to help them see it that way, that you may not see it today, but let's focus on what your life looks like 5 years from now, what you want it to look like. And then let's make a plan to help you get there.
So sort of like reframing the situation, which is a strategy that I use all the time with clients in my office as a therapist, you're helping people look at, you know, the silver lining or the reframe of the situation. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's all bad. Yes, there's parts that are hard, but embracing those parts and leaning in and trying to figure out how to make it not as hard and to come out stronger in the end.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that.
No, it's like I said, it's a different way of looking at things. Now you have folks in your office who provide different types of support, right? Not
yes,
just the standard receptionist to secretary, well now legal assistant, receptionist to legal assistant to lawyer. There's a lot more going on there. Tell us a little bit about those supports and why you think they're important to folks.
Sure. I have an entire client care team whose job it is to help our clients with the parts of their transition that are not legal. I want them to call us with anything that is happening in their lives. We have done things like, and it, by the way, David, this helps me settle cases too. It sounds really silly, but it does. I had one woman who couldn't figure out that how she was going to leave her condo. She was in DC and she had a condo and she wasn't sure how to leave it because it was close enough to work that she could go home and take her dog out. And what was she going to do? She couldn't get rid of her dog. We found her a dog walker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not legal services. I don't want to charge for that, but we helped. And it just, it shifted her perspective. Oh, I can like do this thing.
Mm-hmm. So is it like case management almost?
So we call it our client concierge service. It is anything that is non-legal. Do you need help finding a mover? Do you need a realtor? Do you need, even so far as when they're getting back out in the dating world, we just did an event, Rediscovering Romance, where we introduced people to matchmakers and stylists. And
I love it.
You know, anything that you need to get to that next chapter. And since we start out the representation designing what the next chapter is, we kind of have an idea and can anticipate some of the things that they need that are not legal.
Yeah. So what kind of clients come to you? Like what kind of people are attracted to this sort of very different, if you will, perspective in terms of, you know, age and gender and like, who's your client?
I have to think about that. So our clients' ages are actually pretty wide apart. I would say in general, our oldest clients tend to be in their 70s, and we have some, I mean, really, really young ones. I represent a lot of kids, but they're not coming to me through traditional ways. But I do have a lot of 20-somethings, especially young 20-somethings that have what unfortunately we all term as a starter marriage that tend to hit it really hard. The people who tend to find me are, they're men, they're women, they're business owners, they're not, but they're the people who are up at 2 or 3 in the morning scrolling what happens when somebody asks for a divorce. And we tend to get the people who were asked for a divorce, I think because I put my story out there so much. I'm like, if this is you, I know what this feels like. So it's rare we have the person who is actually asking for one.
Yeah. And do, are you, I mean, you said that as part of the marketing, you share your story. So do people like that? Do they, I mean, how has that, you know, been received by people?
You know, different in different ways. Our clients love it. I also have my client relationship manager, Monica. She's actually a former client of mine, and she shares her story all the time. And hers was very different than mine. I have another team member, Amanda, who is an intake specialist, and she also has gone through some really hard stuff with her kids and shares her story. Our firm is now also doing estate planning because our goal is to help families with everything that they need. And I mentioned to the two of you before this podcast that I lost 2 family members last year. I'm now going and telling everybody about that. And the reason I do these things is because I think people relate to people, and people hire people. They don't hire companies. They don't follow companies. That's one of the things I like about the two of you. You're real people on this podcast. You talk about your real marriage. You talk about your real stories and who you are. But as lawyers, lawyers don't do that. And so what is the reaction to it? A lot of the lawyers think I am an oversharer and maybe a little bit nuts because I'm on TikTok. But if I can help my clients by helping them see that it can be done and see that hope, then it's worth it.
What about any support in terms of, you know, someone comes to you and obviously, and although how people get there in terms of the legal fault and all the rest of it, we know has changed over the years. But I always talk to folks about, you know, what happened, whether it ultimately is going to matter or whether it's not on the legal side, because I, like you, want to get a sense of where they're coming from, what broke down, that sort of thing. Now, it seems to me, you know, and one of the things we wrote about in our first book, in the 5 Core Conversations for Couples, you know, you have these main areas of conflict, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and the 3 biggies, you know, are parenting, money, and sex. And so I'm wondering, you know, as you're sort of approaching this individual and moving them through not just the divorce, but what's going to be afterwards, is there any talk about or work with, you know, how do we try to avoid the issues that came up in this starter marriage or whatever this first marriage that led you to Z Family Law to begin with? And how can we look to, you know, circle away from those things next time around?
So 2 things. First, I have a lot of people who do what Julie do on my Rolodex, and I use it heavily. My role is to look prospectively, and that is how I see it. I am not good at necessarily looking back at what happened and letting people process those emotions, in part because I need them to move forward and to make decisions about the next phase of their life. And so if they're wallowing about why, it's something that I want them to get help with, because that can only help them in their next chapter. But the other thing is, how do you not repeat the same pattern again? I talk all the time about prenups. That's one of my all-time favorite topics. And actually, I'm getting ready to do a prenup boot camp to try to talk through with people about what a prenup is. I cannot tell you how much I'm a fan of them. In the same way as we have people designing their next, you know, the next phase of their life, I want them to design their marriage. So many people, David, I know you feel the same about this because I heard you speak about it actually in a different podcast. Like, you guys do marriage planning now every year, and same thing with the business plan. Well, you don't start a business without a business plan. I don't know why people start marriages without a marriage plan. So yes. Even if you don't ultimately end up signing the agreement, if you sit down and you talk about things like, hey, how do we want to raise our kids? Is private school something really important to me, important to you? Do we need to save for that? What about our relationships with our in-laws? How close do we want to live to them? What's going to happen if they're incapacitated? God forbid, what happens if we have a special needs child and one of us has to give up our careers? How are we going to address that? And while you can't address everything, you can design your life and design your marriage and design check-ins. Yes. And I say signing a prenup is, to me, tying a tighter knot. I think it's going to lead to a stronger marriage.
Yeah, so, yeah, it is prenup season, and we've talked about this recently. We've done some things and done some interviews. It's that time of year, you know, where oftentimes where people are getting married in 3 weeks and want you to prepare one, which of course is not the way, certainly not the way to do it in any world, much less your world. But what I find interesting really is the idea of using a prenuptial agreement in some way to set relationship goals. And we're big believers in setting goals and looking in on those goals with regularity. And we talk about goals that are achievable and goals that are aspirational, you know, and they're very different. But it's interesting to me that you have this discussion with folks, you know, in a prenuptial agreement environment. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, that's not a sexy discussion. That's not usually a discussion traditionally people want to have. Usually one person wants to have it and the other one doesn't. Financial reasons. That's the most frequent reason. But I think it's pretty interesting to me that you're using it more as a road, so to speak, as opposed to a rule, a series of rules and regulations if you break up.
Yeah.
No one wants to go into a marriage thinking about a breakup, but they do want to go into a marriage thinking about what they want their life to look like 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Right. And if you take that vision and then reverse engineer it to the legal protections that they need to reach those. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and I say this all the time, a prenup is love. If you can look at your partner and say, I love you so much that even if someday something terrible happens or I don't, or our marriage doesn't work, I'm going to treat you with dignity and respect, and I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. And I can promise you that today, because I'm going to put it down in this paper and I'm going to sign it, and I'm going to give you that security of knowing that we are going to divorce, you know, with dignity and things like that. And I hope it never happens, but I love you so much, I'm going to protect you anyway.
Yeah, I love that. And I also love really the idea of talking about lots of different things before you get married, before you start heading down the road, because I can't tell you how many times I've had people in my office talking about things and they'll say, we never talked about that. Like even involving having children, how to raise children, financial issues there, you know, people like, oh, we never talked about that. Really?
Really?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I've made this joke over and over again, right? That other than faith-based, no one gets parenting classes. There's no until it's time to get divorced. I mean, you know, that's when you get parenting classes, is when you're ordered to go do it. And no one think, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, for most of us, there's not a lot of thought. And there wasn't for us, to be honest with you, back in, well, let's say when it was. But there wasn't a lot of thought, you know, put into that. And I think what you're doing by bringing that into the discussion is really, really important to folks. And like I said, that's something that struck me when I was thinking about you. Well, but I do want to ask you a question about this Rediscovering Romance event.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about that, because that's something we talk about a lot. So I'd be interested to know what you did and what your take was and how it went.
So it went really well. We have been asked to do it over again. So I think we're going to work on doing another one in the fall. So we do try to do events for our past clients to kind of help them again in their new life. And really, we open them to anybody, because it doesn't have to just be our clients that can learn. So this one was Rediscovering Romance. We had a photographer come to talk about how do you look good in your photos for online dating if you're going to do that? And how do you get those uncomfortable full body shots where you're not just like looking in a mirror and doing something creepy? And she showed us how to do that. And of course, also for attendees, if they wanted to hire her, everybody, one of these vendors made kind of a special package for everybody. We also had a makeup artist come to talk about how to have a first date look and also online dating profile look, because it can be a little different. We had a stylist come and talk about what to wear on a first date and what to wear in your profile pictures. And that one was definitely geared towards men and women. But then we have my personal favorite, Quinn, who is a matchmaker. I love all the other ones, but Quinn, I owe a very special debt of gratitude because she introduced me to my significant other. And so we actually used our story and how we met and were introduced and why we were matched. And she was able to use that to show how it's important to look for things that are a good complement to you that you may not see. I say all the time, I never would have picked my significant other like out of a lineup, not because he's not absolutely amazing, but because I thought I needed to date another me. And it turns out I needed to date some complementary things to me. And and the balance is just such a different recipe for success.
That's so awesome. Well, it sounds like it was a great time. It sounds like it was a great time.
And it I love, I almost feel like you do what David does. You're trained as as a family lawyer, but you're also just really putting in the relationship, pieces, and also the mental health pieces and the support pieces, which I think is so important for people to have the support really anytime, but specifically when they're going through something that's, difficult. Oh,
absolutely. And we want our clients to know that we don't just go away when their divorce is over. We reach out a minimum, our client care team, a minimum of every 6 months. How's your new life going? Is there anything that you need? And because that we have the plan, how's school going? How's this going? How's your child doing? We don't do this one every year. We kind of recycle, but we send like Mother's Day cards, Father's Day cards, Stepmother's Day cards. We send holiday cards, birthday cards, and we let them know like when we do have these free events for them, because we want them to have those resources. Or when we meet a really cool new concierge partner, hey, do any of your kids need tutoring? We met this really great person. They're fantastic. We want to be that person in their corner that they feel like they can call no matter what. And like I said, if it's not legal, they don't get a bill for it.
Yeah, I love it.
Now you're working on a book that I read, the term called vision casting.
Yes.
What does that mean? And tell us a little bit about the book that you're working on.
Sure. So vision casting is what I've been talking about setting a goal for your new life, setting it out. So I have a vision casting sheet that I use with my clients, and it will be in the book and downloadable as well, so anybody can use it. But it is, close your eyes and picture your life 5 years from now. When you wake up in the morning, where are you? Are you in a house? Are you in an apartment? Are you still here in the DC area? Are you somewhere else? Who's in the house with you? Are you partnered again? Are you by yourself? Do you have pets? Are your children there? Where are they going to school? Where are you leaving and going that day? Where are you working? What kinds of foods are you having for breakfast? I mean, we take it really, really granular.
What color are your plates?
I asked the pet one. I'll tell you in that story later, but I made this poor woman cry because all she wanted was cats and her husband didn't want cats. I was like, what pets? And she just started crying saying she wanted cats.
Oh,
okay.
I love that.
But we try to get them to live their vision. What kind of car? And then once they cast the vision, I tell them, go test drive the car. Go drive around that neighborhood. Go into, some open houses in that neighborhood. Or if they're looking for an apartment, like go tour the apartment and tell me what it feels like. Because a lot of times the vision feels more real when you see it in a little bit, having some kind of tangible effect to it and really tie them into it. So now that they have their vision, I can use it to measure every decision that they're making in their divorce. One example was I had this case, and David, you're going to laugh at this because I'm sure you've heard this one a million times. We had me, another attorney, and a mediator, and they're paying together collectively over $1,000 an hour, and they were fighting over a $40 lamp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A $40 lamp.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying to my client, like, what are you doing? And wouldn't you know it? Whoever got the lamp, I don't even remember who we ended up doing it. The lamp broke in the move because of course it did.
Of course it did.
But now that I've started vision casting this way, I'm able to say to client, is this lamp in your vision or is paying for your kids' college in the vision? Because you told me that you want to pay for your kids' college and yet this is how much you're spending to argue about this lamp.
Mm-hmm.
If it's custody, you told me that 5 years from now, the relationship you want your husband, wife, whoever to have with the children is a very close one. And the two of you, you want them to, want the two of you to be able to sit next to each other at their graduation.
Right.
Is how you're communicating right now in text and email going to get you there?
Yes.
Is how you're trying to decide right now that you get all the holidays going to get you there?
Yes.
Does that get you to that vision? And It can curb a lot of bad behavior, and it can also help people make good decisions.
It's so powerful because, and a lot of times people that are struggling with addictions, that's a sort of a technique that's used is your behavior in line with what you want for your life? And then sort of people acknowledging, no, this behavior really isn't part of what I see myself, then it becomes, we call it dystonic. It's not working for yourself. That's brilliant in so many ways, because it's also giving people hope for the future, which is part of, you know, just what they need. So I love what you're doing. I think you should read her book when it comes out. I think you should employ some of her techniques.
Listen, I do my best without knowing some of it, but I learned a lot over the last several minutes, Christy, not surprisingly, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. And we want to wish you best of luck with the book. If people want to get a hold of you, want to talk to you or your team, what's the best way for them to do that?
Sure. Our website is www.zfamilylaw.com. Z, because my last name is Lackus. You can also find us on TikTok. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on LinkedIn. And feel free to message us that way. We will get you in the right channel to our client care team, who will reach right out to you.
Sounds excellent. And I am not afraid to have folks contact a, quote, competitor, because this is just a really, really unique and, like I said, holistic way of working with folks going through a very difficult time in their lives. Thank you, Christy. Thanks, everybody, for listening in. For those of you, again, who want to try to find us, we're www.thebullets, T-H-E-B-U-L-I-T-T-S, on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and a video version of this, and we can see Christy, will be posted on our YouTube channel, also at The Bullets. Thank you again, Christy. Folks, hope you enjoyed it, and we will hear and see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Conversations for Couples, the podcast.
The podcast. Oh, yeah, I missed my part.
Yes, he did miss it, but he did so good on the other stuff, I was going to ignore it. So anyway, thanks, y'all.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Julie Bullet is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullet is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.